And just like that, it is August. Welcome to Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. I've got a great hour planned for you. When times are tough, you need an advisor. We're going to talk about the value advisor. In fact, we're going to cut it up into two chunks, and I think it's going to make a lot of sense. I want you to listen carefully for that. Ask Annex is on the way. Talk about a bunch of different things, early withdrawals from retirement accounts, investing only in U.S. companies. What is the best Roth provider? What's a backdoor IRA? And should somebody retire or be fired? That question and a bunch more. Also on the way, details about how this show is going to be on demand at the top of the next hour. So if you've been looking for, you know, if you come in late on a weekend and you want to hear more of it, we're going to talk about that. I'm Danny Clayton. Derek Felsky is our Chief Investment Officer. Hey, Derek.
Hi, Danny.
And Dave Spano, our President and CEO. Welcome to you.
Yeah, thank you. And of course, you know, we have talked about this over and over that the Federal Reserve has two jobs or a dual mandate. One of them is to keep employment at a reasonable level. And second is to keep prices under control or inflation. Well, right now, the first job was a disaster, but in a good way. The fact that the jobs report came out and it surged way more than expected, Derek.
Right. We reported 528,000 new jobs in March, more than twice what the consensus estimate was. Wage growth continues to move up at 5.2% on a year-on-year basis. And the unemployment rate is now back to the pre-pandemic lows of 3.5%. So any thoughts that we're in currently in a recessionary environment, I think we're squelched by this report.
Yeah, we'll have to see what the Fed does with this information, but the unemployment rate is now back down to 3.5%, and the jobs worked, and the U.S. economy, Derek, is starting to look like 2019 with its labor market. However, in 2019, we didn't have this runaway inflation that we have now. So we do know that the Fed is in a precarious position, and it's highly likely they're going to raise rates again in September, but that's 6 weeks off.
Right. We're going to get two CPI reports between now and then, another labor report. In fact, the CPI will be reported on August 10th next week. The initial reaction to the number was for the stock market to sell off because it raised a possibility that potentially we could see another 75 basis point hike. Of course, that depends on the data, which Powell has said any number of times. But it does certainly push back the idea that the Fed may pivot, because there was some thought that if they tightened too much, the economy would slow dramatically and the Fed would have to reverse course in early 2023.
Yeah, and I think that's that pivot word is up for debate, right? So pivot means they'd actually have to turn around and start lowering rates. It could mean that they'll just take their foot off the brake. In other words, they won't have as many rate raises as expected. But there's this arbiter that I always look at, and it is the yield curve. When the two-year yields are higher than the 10-year, that has been a harbinger for a recession for decades.
That is certainly one of them. There are any number of yield curves you can point to. The one that some say is the most successful predictor, though, is a three-month Treasury bill versus the 10-year yield. And right now, that still hasn't inverted. So that's a good sign, I think, for the future of the economy. The other thing I'd want to point out just about what was going on with the markets and the Fed is, you know, we did hear from a lot of governors this week, and they were all very hawkish. They were talking about, you know, the job was far from done. Bullard was saying that they thought they'd have to hike for longer. Yet the stock market shrugged it off. So it's looking like a possibility that perhaps we did see those lows in the middle of June, which is what you'd expect if we can skirt a recession in 2022.
And I'll tell you what, a 9% rally in July certainly gives credence to that argument, Derek. And there was also other good performance in that month as well.
Oh, absolutely. The NASDAQ actually is almost technically in a bull market. It's up 19% from its lows. Who would have believed that a month ago? And we did mention how people were very negatively positioned. Institutional managers had high level of cash, low allocation to equities. Sentiment was god-awful. A fear and greed index was in single digits. It's now back to neutral. So there has been a significant rebound, and it's a really important spot for the markets, both technically and fundamentally.
Derek Felsky, our Chief Investment Officer at Annex Wealth Management. Dave Spano, our President and CEO. We got them for the whole hour. Dave, when you built this machine, you invested and found really good people for the investment committee, for the retirement planning team, for the tax planning team, for the estate planning team. And I think you've said it a number of times. Nobody can do it by themselves.
No, it's all about the team. There's no doubt about it. And we continue to add quality people to our team. And that is really the difference. We talk about
There you go. One team, one plan, one fee, folks. It all starts at annexwealth.com. And again, what we do is investment, retirement planning, tax planning, and estate planning. Those four major things. We do it as a fee-only fiduciary. You can start this weekend. Head to our website. It's annexwealth.com. Click that Get Started button. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show for Saturday, August 6th. We're going to be right back on 620 WTMJ. The Week in Review, Know the Difference Minutes, Team Segments, Planning Topics, including Investments, Retirement, Tax, and Estate. It's all on the Annex Wealth Management YouTube channel, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Head to YouTube and search Annex Wealth Management. We are back. I don't want to load up your to-do list too much for the weekend, but a couple of things you might consider. Sign up for the Axiom, which is our weekly newsletter. You can do that on our website at annexwealth.com. Connect with us on social media. We're on LinkedIn for a professional look at Annex Wealth Management. We're on Facebook for some more fun stuff, but equally serious. Instagram, we're there too. And YouTube, we really like that YouTube channel. We got over 1,500 videos that Annex Wealth Management has produced. You can search by topic, really, really strong. Got a brand new SWAT podcast that comes out Monday morning with members of the Annex Wealth Management investment team. And this show is now available on demand at the top of the hour on the Annex Wealth Management Spotify channel. So you want to catch the whole thing, there you go. Derek Felsky's in the studio. He is Chief Investment Officer. Dave Spano, President and CEO, Annex Wealth Management.
You know, Danny, that last segment we just did had so much good stuff. I want to go back and add some color. The one thing that we did talk about is the recessionary fears. And the GDP, as we all know, was negative in the first two quarters. I had a laugh because Wikipedia went in and changed the definition that that's not a recession
They
anymore.
Wouldn't let people go in and change it, right? Because right. You want to start a fist fight this weekend, bring up a recession. Are we in one?
Exactly.
Well, you know, and it's also kind of interesting. I was talking with Todd about this. I mean, you know, they talk about GDP in real terms, but when you think about it in nominal terms, which is what you and I think about when we, you know, register sales at a restaurant or, you know, we charge fees for practices and all the rest, things were up. I mean, it was up 7.9% in the second quarter in nominal terms. Yes, right. Inflation was higher than that, so therefore the real number was negative, but that wouldn't feel as a recession to me, if you know what I mean, in terms of ringing the register.
Yeah, so that's the reason why we are looking forward in the fact that the Atlanta Fed, who was one of the first organizations to call negative GDP in the second quarter, is now talking about positive growth in the third quarter. And to that point, Derek, you know, new orders had surged, you know, and so ISM number, which is a number that looked really good, we saw, you know, anything above 50 means an expansion. We expected 53. We got 56.7. All of that suggests that maybe the second half of the year could look better.
Yeah, and we're also seeing gasoline prices are now down 50 days in a row. So that's a tax cut to consumers.
And right. Oil is now trading in the 80s, right?
Right. The second quarter inventory correction may be over as well, which subtracted almost 2% from GDP in the second quarter. Supply chain constraints are beginning to ease, which could lead to met demand. So a lot of the things that the Fed needs to see are starting to occur. The problem is that there are persistent elements to inflation, which we've mentioned any number of times before, that are going to take a lot longer to ring out of the system.
And it could be into 2023 before we see it. However, the key to us, the report cards come out, and that is the earnings. And we're making our way through the earnings season right now. About 60% of the companies have reported, and it's been a pretty good season to date.
Right. They've beaten estimates by a median of 7%. They've beaten revenues 68% of the time. We have seen some negative guidance towards the third quarter, given pricing pressures and the like, and the strong dollar in particular, you know, from Apple, for example, and Microsoft. But generally speaking, analysts were pleased with the earnings, and the guidance has been so-so. We'll see where it goes. It has softened for sure.
It has. But, you know, we start to look at individual companies, and you have to parse through that and find out where you can find companies with growing sales and growing earnings. And I saw one on Friday afternoon that certainly made me laugh. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I saw a chicken wing company up 57%.
Right, in 1 month. Well, I guess they've been charging higher prices. See, right. That's the example of pricing power. Another company that reported a great quarter, which really gives you a good sense of what people are doing, is Marriott reported an outstanding quarter. They blew away the estimates. And we all know lodging prices have gone up, travel costs have gone up, but people are revenge traveling.
There's no question. I had the opportunity to travel this past weekend, and airports are full. no doubt about it. And people are moving around, Danny, and that is a good sign for the economy. Unfortunately, there's a bifurcation in this country, and the people who can and have the means are traveling for sure. So you're going to have to take advantage of that as an investor by finding companies that have growing sales and growing earnings. That's what we do on a daily basis.
You bet we do. Derek Felsky, our Chief Investment Officer at Annex Wealth Management. Dave Spano, President and CEO. Still to come, a great two-part series on the value of an advisor. Don't go it alone, especially now. Team up with Annex Wealth Management as a fee-only fiduciary. You can get things going. You visit our website, click that Get Started button. Website is annexwealth.com. Know the difference. One team, one plan, one fee. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. We're going to be right back on 620 WTMJ. Know the difference at Annex Wealth Management. You know, it's human nature to want the best deal on goods and services. We want to pay the least, but we want to get the most, and why not? It's our hard-earned money. You've also heard the old adage, get what you pay for. Brandon Lehman, wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. Can I get an amen to that?
I agree 100%.
Right? Welcome back. When it comes to your investment and retirement plan, the value of an advisor is an important discussion.
It is. You really need to know, one, who you're working with and what you're getting out of that relationship. There's more to it than just investments. And we want to take a deep dive into really everything that comes from that relationship of working with a valued partner on the financial advising side.
For sure. Russell Investments put out a really nice piece that caught your eye, and it's an excellent five-step process that breaks it down. And we're going to talk about that. They do A, B, C, P, and T. A is first up. That is annual rebalancing of investment portfolios. And we talk about this a lot.
Yeah, we do. And why this is so important to understand is because as the years move along, portfolios change. Every year you could have some things that do well, some things that don't. And if you're not paying attention, if you don't have somebody behind you guiding you, helping you, looking for those opportunities, you're going to miss out on the opportunities to basically sell high and buy low. A great stat is if you look back, and Russell Investments put this out in a study they did from January 1st, 2009, if you had a basic 60-40 portfolio and you didn't make any changes to that portfolio, 10 years later on December 31st, 2019, you'd have 21% more equity exposure and 18% less bond exposure without doing any rebalancing.
It gets out of whack.
It does. It does. And what's that doing is it takes you from what you consider a moderate investor, and now you're actually a more moderately aggressive investor. You've actually moved up the risk scope through this process by not making any changes.
Now, they talk about annual rebalancing. We do it more often, and they probably do as well.
Correct. So there's the annual rebalancing where if you look at it in your 401k, you can kind of set up that tool. But here at Annex, we do it a little bit more different. We're constantly looking for the opportunities to take advantage of it in the marketplace. And this isn't a, buy today, sell tomorrow, buy today. You know, Dave and Derek and the investment team do a phenomenal job, but we're looking for opportunities inside the portfolio to add value for our clients. So it's a little bit more than the annual rebalancing, but overall, you want to stay focused on that. And we can help you, especially on the 401k side, to make sure you're doing that, because that's where you see this. People make the largest mistake in this area.
Gotcha. We're talking about the value of an advisor. B stands for behavioral mistakes individual investors typically make. And they do that, don't they?
They do. And I don't think there is any more important time to talk about this than right now. You know, there's a lot of panic out in the marketplace. It is very important to stay focused on the long term. And what Russell did is they look at it and they say, okay, if you're an average investor, and nobody necessarily wants to be average, but, an average investor, what has happened from 1984 to 2019 is because they go in and out of the market. They basically do the exact opposite of what you should do, and they buy high and sell low. And that has actually can cost them upwards of 2%. By working with somebody who can help coach you through that, talk you through that, and keep you focused on the long-term plans, you can see a savings in the long run for you and your portfolio. A couple quick points on behavior. There's a few things that you commonly see with folks, and it's related to human biases. The first is obviously loss aversion. So they hold their winners too long. They're afraid to sell their losers. The second is overconfidence. They're just trading too much. Another thing is hurting. So, what is my neighbor doing? I want to do that. I've gotten a lot of those calls. Familiarity. So we see a lot of home country bias. So where are most of your investments? They're right here in the U.S. Well, there is opportunity outside of the U.S. If you partner with somebody, you can definitely take advantage of that. And the last thing is just truly understanding diversification, and we call it, I guess you'd say, naive diversification, but being truly diversified and setting up a diversified portfolio. And when you partner with a firm like Annex, we can really direct you and help you figure out what makes the most sense.
Brandon Lehman is a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management, talking about the value of an advisor. We believe in it. C stands for cost of basic investment only management. Are we talking about robo-advisors?
We are, and it's very simple. You think of Betterment, you think of Schwab, Intelligent Portfolios. These are places where you can go and you can get one thing. You can get investment management. Basically, you could call it advice, but it isn't really. It's a portfolio that suits your needs based on you answering anywhere from 6 to maybe 10 questions. And that's it. There's no time for you to sit down with somebody, talk about your goals, talk about some upcoming events you might have. You know, here at Annex, one of the things I've noticed we do a lot of is we'll sit down with an individual and they say, well, this is my short-term goal. I have this. So we'll actually have a separate account with a separate risk tolerance put up just for that situation. And then we'll have a different account with a different type of investment schedule for different goals. When you work with a robo-advisor, you don't get any of that. You just have the pure cost. And the pure cost of that is surprisingly going up every year, from 5 years ago when you looked at about 0.25% for a robo-advisor to nowadays on a $400,000 account is about 0.29 in a recent study that Russell Investments did.
Oh, that's way higher than I guess I thought.
It's a lot higher than you would have expected.
Sure. This is part one of a conversation about the value of an advisor. We'll be back with Brandon Lehman in a bit. Stick around for that. If we can help, head to annexwealth.com and click that Get Started button.
Annex Wealth Management, making it easy to meet with you. We're in Elm Grove, Lake Country, Mequon, Appleton. We're downtown Milwaukee inside the Pfister. We're in Middleton serving Madison. Naples, Florida, and Libertyville, Illinois, as close as your computer. It's news time. For that, let's head to the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management? Time for Ask Annex. Got a question for us? You head to our website, annexwealth.com. Look for the Ask button. As always, if we can help you out in any other way, click that Get Started button. In the studio, Sarah Kyle, wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Randy Winkler, CFP and a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. Hello to you.
Hey, Danny.
Let's get rolling. Our first one is from PJ. I'm under 59 and a half, but need to withdraw money from either a 401k or one of my IRAs. What's best from a penalty standpoint?
Well, we need a little bit more information here from PJ. How old is he? If he's 55 or older, there is an IRS provision that allows workers who leave their jobs for any reason to start taking penalty-free distributions from their current employer's retirement plan once they've reached age 55. That could be a really good option for him if he is over 55. This is one of those cases where you would not want to roll your 401k. You'd want to keep it in the 401k, not an IRA, because you don't have that provision in an IRA. So that would be one option. There are also some exceptions to the IRA and the 401k rules, such as paying for medical costs, first-time home purchase, qualified higher education expenses. So if we knew the purpose of this, we could give a little bit better direction. There's also something, and I hesitate to even go here because it's very complicated, called a 72T distribution. It's a way that you can get at money prior to age 59 and a half through a series of substantially equal periodic payments. It's so complicated that a lot of people in our industry don't do it, and we have a division specifically for it, because if you mess it up, it's a problem.
Got it.
But there are options for PJ if you'd like to explore them.
Yeah, there you go, PJ. And PJ, by the way, we know people with these answers. Next up on Ask Annex is from Alan. Any thoughts on investing only in U.S. companies? And he doesn't say why, Sarah.
Well, first of all, I'm a big fan of having a global diversified portfolio, as you know. But there's a lot of global uncertainty in the current environment, and I wouldn't argue with him if he wanted to just invest in U.S. companies. At Annex, we actively manage our portfolios, and actually earlier this year, our investment team reduced our international exposure and went overweight U.S. When the opportunity presents itself, we'll go back in, but now's not the time.
There's a lot of companies that are just multinational companies anyway. Mm-hmm. You think of Coca-Cola, you think of Caterpillar, you think of that, right? So it's harder and harder, isn't it?
Two-thirds of the public companies are not U.S.-based, so it's hard to get that only U.S.-based company, but they're out there.
Next up is Anonymous. And by the way, if you don't want us to use your name on the radio, that's super cool. Just let us know when you fill out that Ask Annex form at annexwealth.com. Going back to work after 18 months off, I considered myself retired even though I didn't do anything official like withdrawing retirement funds. Do I need to alert anyone like Social Security?
This is another question where I have questions.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if Anonymous has started Social Security. So let's go through two different scenarios here. If they haven't started Social Security, there's nothing that you really need to even be aware of. Social Security takes the highest 35 years of earnings. So of this 18 months, for sure, 1 year is probably going to drop off of that, and maybe even a second year, but two other income years will go on there. So it'll have an impact, but it'll be very small on Social Security. If he or she has started Social Security, then there's some interesting things to keep in mind. Social Security can be taxable based on income. Up to 85% of it can be taxable. So you might see that your Social Security, which was not taxable, now is. There's also an earnings penalty. You can make a little bit less than $20,000 a year. So if in his new employment here, he's making more than that, Social Security will withhold $1 for every $2 he makes over that amount. In the year of full retirement, the number changes a little bit. It's more like $50,000, but some things to be aware of. But he doesn't need to notify anything, but things will happen.
Next up from Daryl. Graduated law school, have my first job. I want to start investing right away in a Roth IRA. Is there a consensus on the best provider to set up a Roth, like avoiding fees, good info displays, index funds, etc.?
Well, any custodian will let you open up a Roth IRA, and most have waived commissions, so fees are pretty low. But I would say it's a matter of preference. They all have different strengths. I personally like the TD Ameritrade's thinkorswim platform. The charting features are really good. But at Annex, we use Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, and Schwab for our custodians.
Next up is another anonymous one, but I met him. Danny, I'm the guy you talked to one boat over on the 4th of July. Is there a formula to determine if a backdoor Roth IRA is the way to go? I am highly compensated, but also highly confused about the process. And if I remember correctly, he had a really nice boat.
Well, there are a lot of factors that go into doing a backdoor Roth, and everybody's situation is different. It's a loophole that allows you to do this, but it isn't right for everyone. And you should really work with your advisor in conjunction with your tax professional to help you work through sophisticated Roth strategies.
Complicated, right?
Very.
And our last one is anonymous. I'm 64 and qualify for early retirement, vested in my pension. Wanted to work at least another year or two, but seems I'm getting fired soon. Should I retire early or wait until I'm fired, get a few more paychecks, and collect my pension and unemployment after? I could also quit, live from savings until 65, and collect pension then. Any thoughts?
Definitely. You need a financial plan. So as I go through that, we don't have enough information to make the recommendation, but just a few questions that pop up. You're 64, you need healthcare to bridge the gap until Medicare. Could be going out to the exchange, could be COBRA. What's your Social Security strategy? What's the withdrawal strategy based on taxes? So we can answer that question. We just need a lot more information before we could do that.
And that's what the Get Started button is for. So hit that up. If you got a question for us, go to annexwealth.com. Look for that Ask button. Randy Winkler, CFP and a wealth manager. Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Sarah Kyle, Wealth Manager, Annex Wealth Management. Thank you.
My pleasure.
For investment, retirement planning, tax planning, and estate planning, we do it as a fee-only fiduciary. Know the difference. Website, annexwealth.com. Click that Get Started button. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. We're going to be right back on 620 WTMJ. Know the difference? You've heard the saying, you get what you pay for, and we're talking about the value of an advisor. This is part two. If you missed part one, we're going to have that on the Annex Wealth Management YouTube channel. The value of an advisor, this came from Russell Investments, and it's quite good. They broke it up into an A, B, C, P, and T. A was annual rebalancing. B was behavioral mistakes individual investors typically make. C is the cost of basic investment-only management. We're talking about robo-advisors here. Brandon Lehman joins me, and we're going to pick things back up with the value of an advisor. We are to P, and that's planning costs and ancillary services. This is really where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, and this is really what Annex is all about. This is true holistic planning to help you reach and achieve those financial outcomes and goals you strived your whole life to build towards. And I think, put this all in perspective, Russell Investments has done a great job here. And there was a study as well done by Kitsis, Michael Kitsis, if you're familiar with who that is.
Kind of a rock star in the world, right?
He is, yep. Especially in the registered investment advisory world. And is standalone planning, their study proved that standalone planning is about $2,080 a year, or about 0.5% on a $400,000 account. That's just putting the plan together. So that's the time the planner puts in, the investment team puts in, the tax planning team puts in. All those individuals, when they sit down, they start building all of this and come to you with a plan. Now, obviously, that's not just a one-time plan. And I think that's where a lot of people tend to get lost, as they think, well, it's a plan, it's set in stone, but really we're monitoring this throughout the year.
Back in the old days, you'd give everybody a book and it'd be like, see you later. It's not. This is living and breathing.
Correct. And with the software that we utilize here, I call it a living plan. You know, this is a living, breathing document. So I just did this with an individual. And we sat down, we reviewed the plan with everything that's gone on. And while it had gone down, I think we talked about this last week, it's still in good shape. And that's the key. It's a living, breathing plan. And what people don't often realize is along with building that plan, there's so many, as you said, ancillary services, as Russell puts it. Savings and distribution analysis. You look at investment and cash flow planning. Stock options, an area where I have spent a significant amount of my career is looking and viewing, understanding stock options from major publicly traded corporations. You look at property and casualty review and partnering with somebody who can help with that. Long-term care insurance. The list goes on and on of all the different things that we do here. And there's really a value for that. And Russell puts it, you know, somewhere in the lines of 0.5 to 0.75% for all that time that they're putting in for you. And I think that's key to understand that it's not just what you see that one meeting a year, that those 3-4 meetings a year where you sit down and you view it. This is a lot of time put in by quite a few people behind the scenes to create your plan.
The real beauty of it, too, is we're a fee-only fiduciary. So we're not generating this stuff to generate commissions. This is part of the fee.
That's what's so important. You know, we are doing this because it's in your best interest. To us, what matters is giving you the best solution and supporting you and helping you find your financial goals and outcomes.
So you're in the backyard at the cookout and your neighbor says, oh, Brandon, I can do all this myself. And it's like, wait a minute, probably not.
There's a few things you probably could. You might be really good at the investment side. You might be really good at the tax side, depending on what you do for a living. However, we can bring together a whole group of folks and experts to help you in all those areas.
Oh, you said it. You said taxes. We're T, and that stands for Tax Smart Investing.
Yes. This is the last thing. This is, I don't want to say newer, but it has come out more recently, probably in the last 5 years, where this has been a big focus, because you started to see years where people were paying taxes but getting no returns on their mutual funds. And that's called your capital gain distributions. So you need to be tax aware and tax smart when it comes to your investing plan. And when you work with Annex, you work with our investment team, we develop a strategy in conjunction with our tax planning team on what makes the most sense for your investment goals and objectives. And we have to be very tax cognizant of what we're doing. And I've talked about this constantly on the radio, how important it is to understand what your investments are, where you hold them, and what they are doing. Because in April, you might not realize back in March that it's going to have a negative impact next April on you.
You also use that phrase I hadn't heard before, but tax drag. I mean, think about it. It's an anchor.
It is an anchor. And, you know, Russell Investments does a great job of quantifying this. And we can sit down with each individual and look at what your actual tax drag is of your portfolio and help you basically unwind that and get to what would be more tax efficient in the long run.
The value of an advisor. I think you've demonstrated the case very nicely. Brandon Lehman is a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. That's how we think. That's how we operate. When it gets down to it, think carefully about the value of a fee-only fiduciary. That is the value of an advisor. Brandon Lehman, appreciate it.
Danny, thank you so much.
If we can help, head to annexwealth.com and click that Get Started button. It is Saturday, August 6th. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Dave and Derek and wrap things up. It's Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 620 WTMJ. Sure, there are market updates, but learn something new and interesting with the Know the Difference Minute from Annex Wealth Management. We'll go beyond the usual topics and dig in deep on developing and breaking stories. Catch them all on Spotify. Search Know the Difference Minute from Annex Wealth Management. We're back on Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Just a quick reminder, this show will be available on demand at the top of the hour on the Annex Wealth Management Spotify channel. Dave Spano is our president and CEO. He's in the studio. Derek Falsky is our chief investment officer. Been a strong show today. Really enjoyed the value of the investor. I think that's a very valuable thing. And Dave, like you were saying, that's what we do day in and day out.
And that really is. And that's the key to having the team, is you can go through and do some financial planning, make sure your estate plan is up to date, that its tax planning is all part of this, and of course that the investments all line up with that. And I can tell you, every time I'm out, Danny, we have these conversations. I ran into someone the other day and they were telling me how our estate planning really helped them through a certain circumstance. So that's all really positive information. But you know, there's certainly that the market has had all of these headwinds in front of them, including inflation, a hot war, a potential cold war, and a potential recession, but the market begins to look forward. Now, there still remains some headwinds in front of us. Of course, you'd have to think about China, Derek, you know, with what's happening with Taiwan, their live firing drills. That concern is still out there.
Oh, it certainly could. It could retard global growth. It could cause an armed conflict. It could certainly disrupt semiconductor supplies. I mean, we just got through a bunch of supply chain bottlenecks. Who's to say that wouldn't happen again? But, you know, when I think about the headlines and reacting to them, you know, we always caution people not to do it because it's kind of like this. If you wait at a bus stop long enough, you're going to catch a bus. But if you run from bus stop to bus stop, you may never catch a bus. And when I see people chase performance or invest based on headlines, invariably they make mistakes. And sometimes it's better off just to do nothing and remain balanced until opportunities present themselves.
And sometimes the bus runs right over you. So yeah.
Sometimes you get helped by doing that.
Exactly. You know, there's been 13 recessions post-World War II, and the average downturn during these recessions is 31%. I got your attention. However, there is upside, and it's what follows that. And the average recovery is 240% after those recessions, Derek.
And the other stat that is probably more pertinent to our situation currently is when you avoid a recession, you have an average decline of 28%, and it typically bottoms 6 months after the high, which is basically roughly what the June low was. And that oftentimes after that, you see significant rallies, particularly in the first 6 to 12 months after that
low. And so how do people take advantage of this? You have to be judicious right now and find out the sectors that can be beneficiaries of that. And maybe it is not international, maybe it is more domestic. Some of the value stocks, some of the growth stocks, but go through those sectors if you're doing this yourself. I know it's difficult. We have a big team, well over 100 employees that do this on a daily basis. And that is the reason why we put this together, is so we can parse through those reports and we can make sure that your asset allocation is in order, should you underweight or overweight. And that's where I want to end the show, Derek, is some thoughts about where do we go between now and the end of the year?
Well, I think probably the two most attractive areas, at least in my mind, are small cap stocks, were at a historically low valuation. And when I say small caps, I want to accent the fact that small cap companies that actually make money, not high priced of sales companies, not small biotech companies, but companies that generate profits and don't have the negative effect of a stronger dollar.
Let me just jump in. I know I don't want to cut you off on that thought, but we looked at one of the exchange traded funds that are in the small cap space, and you showed me a shocking statistic.
Yeah, right. One of them actually, almost 40% of the companies in that index don't make money. So that's not an ETF that I would want to use. I'd want to use something that where one of the criteria for inclusion is that they are profitable and have been for any number of years. Another area that I find very interesting, I believe, is energy to a degree. I think they have pricing power. There are all sorts of structural impediments to drilling at the moment. It'll take a long time to resolve that. We know that Putin could play games with the energy space as well, and those companies reported amazing profits in the second quarter.
And the last thing is, you know, when we balance portfolios, we do have this ballast, and those ballast generally is in the fixed income space. And right now, there is opportunity in the bond market that people are walking right past.
Well, for example, right now, you can actually get CDs that yield 3%. I mean, I remember it wasn't that long ago when basically it wasn't even worth doing a CD because you basically got nothing. You're picking up pennies in front of the proverbial steamroller. But there are credit opportunities, for example, in high yield. If you believe we're going to avoid a recession and you believe defaults are not going to be that high, the yields there are now 6, 7, 8%. That's pretty good. And if inflation comes down, you'll get a real return.
And that's part of the balancing act that we do, Danny. I invite all of the listeners, if any of this made sense to you and you want to give us a kick, there's a way to get that done.
And Dave, not a time to sit still.
No, time now to get a second set of eyes on your portfolio.
Yeah, there is nothing wrong with that at all. If you're working with somebody else, maybe you're just not feeling it. Maybe you inherited it from somebody else or somebody recommended it and you never really felt right about it. We certainly want to be part of that solution. Investment and retirement planning, tax planning and estate planning, that's what we do day in, day out, every single day. And we do it as a fee-only fiduciary. You head to our website, fill out that contact form, with the Get Started button, we will talk next week. How about that? Radio-wise, see you back here next Saturday at 10 o'clock. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 620 WTMJ.